Up next, the blessed return of the sidewalk tables at Chico Natural Foods. Yay! Yay, yay, yay. And Christina Buck, Acting Director of Water and Resource Conservation at Butte County, on the Sustainable Groundwater Management Act and proposed mitigation plans. An Imagining Community production hosted by Guillermo Mash here on KZFR 90.1 FM, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. The opinions voiced this half hour do not necessarily represent the views or opinions of KZFR, its staff, board of directors, underwriters, or volunteers. You know, I'm here with Joey Haney at the co-op, and Sarah Jean came out and said, you want to talk with Joey. And I'm like, everyone loves Joey. Everyone loves Joey. And the cashiers are like, we love Joey. Oh, we love Joey.
That's
but Joey, I can't fuck. I'm going to swear. I'll bleep it out. I can't tell you how happy I am to see these tables back.
Yeah.
And I just want to have some words from the co-op on how important it is for you guys bringing these tables back and what it means to the vibe.
Yeah, well, you know, we took the tables away at the beginning of COVID as, you know, a COVID preventative measure, discouraging people from gathering and all that. And, you know, we've been talking for a while about bringing them back. When's the right time? When is it safe? And then as things opened up and it became right time to that, the air got to be terrible with our summer smoke, so that gave us, we kind of held off a little bit on that. We're like, well, maybe it's not so pressing, but you know, we just decided that the time was right and we're gonna bring them back, let people hang out.
I really appreciate that. I have so many good memories. I've shot some short little music videos here and just sitting with people, you know, maybe buying them some food, coming on out here and spending some time with them. But to me, I've got a lot of memories of these tables, Joey, and I just can't.
Yeah.
I'm just so happy that they're back. Do you have any memories of these tables you could share?
Oh, I mean, gosh, it's like, where to begin? You know, I've worked here for almost a decade now, so I have my lunch out here pretty much every day, you know, for winter, summer, rain, shine.
Yeah.
And so I'm excited to be able to have my lunch out here again, have a place to congregate and see people. You know, that's one of the plus sides, I guess, of the COVID lockdown is there's more outdoor seating downtown.
There is. Yeah,
there's
exactly.
A bit more, but I've always thought Chico's such a beautiful, sunny place. There should be outdoor seating everywhere.
There should be. Outdoor seating everywhere, says Joey Haney, Chico Co-op. Thanks a lot, Joey.
My pleasure. Thanks for coming by.
I circled back to Chico Nat about an hour after talking with Everybody Loves Joey Haney for some Chico Nat goodies savored on the sidewalk tables for the first time in 18 long months. In doing so, I had the privilege and joy to neighbor with local musician and Chico State lecturer Pat Hull, as he was relishing time with his six-month-old on the sidewalk tables at the co-op. Here we go with Pat Hull here on Peepaw Radio.
I got to meet Pat Hull over here at the tables. I've come back to eat some lunch, and, you know, Pat was talking about how much he loves the tables. And just like the previous we talked about, you said, I love Joey Haney, just like everyone here loves Joey Haney.
Mm-hmm. You want me to speak on my love of Joey?
Yeah, speak on your love of Joey Haney. So funny.
My run-ins have been mainly at the co-op. And today we talked about how his socks don't match. And I brought it up because my son insists on his socks not matching.
Yeah.
And every time I give him a pair of matching socks, he goes back in his room and grabs a single sock that is not that color. And he's taught me the beauty and the joy of non-matching socks. And Joey claimed it's not only just an aesthetic, but a whole lifestyle. So what a way to wake up to know your identity is wrapped up in your unmatched socks.
I love that. And I love the fact that we're having this conversation because the tables are back outside the co-op. And I'm here to actually have lunch and eat at the tables. What would you say about the tables, Pat?
Well, the tables have been gone, obviously, for a year and a half. But before that, when the tables were here, I'd bring my other son, Noah, here. We'd have lunch every day because I teach at the college. I have that lunch period off. So we'd come here and eat. and sit at the tables and have conversations as people came by. That was the big thing. People come to the co-op and stop and chat for a few minutes. And
just like me.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly what's happening. And, you know, it's hard to carve out time in your day to have those impromptu, spontaneous conversations. So that's what the tables offer.
I'd like to close, man, with some local music plug. I know you've been working on some stuff and you've released some stuff. Give us the deets, man.
Sure. We made a record called St. Clair. Me, Dorian, Sean Rayside, Michael Bone. And most recently, I'm working on an album with Chris Lynch, who performs with Marty O'Reilly. He's producing a record that is almost done. It'll be released next year. And that was all recorded in Santa Cruz.
Nice. Thanks so much, Pat Hall. And it's just wonderful seeing your six-month-old son here.
Yeah. Great to see you, man.
We lead our groundwater interview with Christina Buck with two short clips on Sigma and groundwater management, produced by the YouTube channel Sacramento Valley.
California has crossed a major milestone in terms of groundwater management. I am with Julie Reishi. She is a professional geologist with Wood Rogers, Inc., and this milestone is called SGMA. Julie, what is SGMA?
SGMA stands for the Sustainable Groundwater Management Act. And the overall goal of SGMA is to manage water resources on a local level.
Okay, so local level, meaning California is going to actually have a system where you are documenting groundwater, even at individual wells? Explain that.
Correct. So the way that it will be split up is into individual groundwater subbasins. And within those subbasins, all the water users, including reclamation districts, irrigation districts, municipalities, and even private groundwater pumpers, will work together and collaborate to collect data in terms of groundwater quality and groundwater levels. And by collecting higher resolution data, that will help them to make better management decisions and also to achieve sustainability in the future.
And you told me it's kind of like a pie. Explain that analogy of the pie and groundwater.
So the state of California is geographically large, and it's also complex in terms of the hydrogeology or the different aquifer systems. So instead of trying to manage the state as a whole pie per se, it's easier to take a little slice and manage that smaller area with higher resolution data.
And in terms of data, what is going to be gleaned from that data, so to speak? Will that allow people to understand how to use water differently?
Exactly. So some of the measurements they'll be collecting are static and pumping water levels from wells around the subbasin, as well as water quality. They'll create a track record and document those water levels over time. If there's areas they identify where groundwater levels are in decline, then they can make better management decisions about possibly maybe bringing surface water to those areas so the groundwater levels can recover in the aquifers.
In general, how is the Sacramento Valley doing right now in terms of groundwater?
Sacramento Valley is in general doing pretty well with the recent wet season. We've seen water levels beginning to recover from the 2017 wet year. However, there still are certain areas of concern, most notably along the western side of Sacramento Valley, including Glynn County, Butte County, Tehama, Colusa, and portions of Yolo County, where groundwater levels are still in decline. And it's going to take a few wet seasons for those water levels to come back up.
Have you heard of SGMA? It's an acronym that is important to our state and to our water. Speaking of water, we are standing at a groundwater monitoring well with Christina Buck, water resources scientist. Christina, what is SGMA?
SGMA is the Sustainable Groundwater Management Act. It's a mouthful, but it's historical legislation because it changed the way groundwater is dealt with in the state.
Okay, and that's a really big picture. How did it change how groundwater is dealt with? Is it that we basically, there is a plan?
There is statewide legislation that that tells us how we need to plan for groundwater management. And so before that, groundwater was not managed from the state level.
And different organizations, different groups are obviously working together. Why is that important in terms of groundwater management?
Yeah, it's really important because SGMA, even though it's state legislation, was really designed and recognizes that groundwater is a local issue. Very variable depending on where you are, and so it should be dealt with that way. And so agencies on the local level, cities, counties, water districts, are really now talking to each other and trying to figure out, okay, who are the players, who makes decisions, and how do we manage this local resource under this the guidance of this new law.
And with this new law, are there any projects that are helping enhance groundwater? You guys have a scientific term for it.
Yeah, so when we talk about groundwater, and it was really, this law was really motivated by both the drought and then severe declines that we've seen in groundwater conditions, mostly in the southern San Joaquin Valley and Tulare Basin. But we have some problem areas up here too in Sacramento Valley, and so it's really forcing us to say, okay, in these problem areas, what are we going to do about it? And so recharge becomes the big word and the big player there. And so there's different plan as part of a plan, you can come out with different projects. And so recharge projects would be one of those. And there's a lot of breaking kind of research on, can you flood fields, agricultural fields, as recharge sites? Can we make the most of these wet years like we've had this year, really wet years, and spread that water out, slow it down, let it recharge, kind of more in line with natural previous conditions before we channelized everything and shot it out to the ocean?
Good point. And recharge, in real simple terms, is basically that water seeping down to that aquifer that makes up the groundwater supply. Is that a correct statement?
Right. Yeah.
Okay. And again, big picture, why is groundwater important? What part of the water pie, what is the percentage of water that we get from groundwater?
Yeah, groundwater is a really important part. It's about 30% in the Sacramento Valley of groundwater supplies, and that's true in Butte County as well. We have about 1 million acre feet, we figure, of surface water supplies that meet irrigation needs, and about 400,000 acre feet for groundwater supplies.
I think a really nice thing to get started with here, Christina, is just tell us a little bit about yourself and this wonderful organization that you work for.
Christina, I grew up here, born and raised in Butte County, went away for school, you know, really tried to figure out what I was interested in, what I wanted to study, and ended up in hydrology, and really loved kind of the mix of science and focused on hydrogeology and water policy and the challenges that, you know, water in California brings, both from a science and kind of problem-solving perspective, but also from a people and places perspective. So it's been really great to work in that space here at the county. I've been here since 2012. So Butte County Department of Water and Resource Conservation, we're a county department, and have a couple charges. One is managing the county's Table A water that we have from the Department of Water Resources out of Lake Orville. And then largely a lot of public education and outreach on water, and recently very involved in, you know, implementation of the Groundwater Sustainability Act for Butte County Subbasin.
What do you love the most about your job, Christina?
Oh, that's a big question. I just think how variable each day is. We get to do a lot of different projects from, you know, better understanding our groundwater system through monitoring and special projects, whether it's recently working with Stanford researchers and the folks from the state on the, others have called it the helicopter project, you know, geophysical survey of the underground, to just really trying to manage water resources with the best information that we have and working through the public process to do that.
What kind of things would you like to expand on or pick up and run with that you had heard in those two little clips?
Those clips introduced, you know, how there's this relatively new law, the Sustainable Groundwater Management Act, and they were from 2017, and I was just thinking back on that. You know, 2017 was a historically wet year, coming out of historically drought years, you know, of 2013, 14, and 15. And so that's water, right, in California, is the extreme conditions. And so in the middle of that, we have the development of these groundwater sustainability plans, you know, where we're trying to set up and define what sustainability is and looks like and how we're going to get there over a 20-year period. And in the throes of doing that, really this year of getting these draft plans out the door, which they are out the door for public review right now, so I want to plug that. We're also in the throes of another really severe drought situation. And so just the challenge of navigating that SGMA in the long run will help us plan for and weather droughts better. But in this near term, you know, drought year, it's not really in the purview of the plans yet to tackle and respond to drought conditions that we're facing. And so we see that happening more from the county level, cities, local agencies responding to
drought impacts of well owners and others.
I think we can just say, you know, about 20 years from now, the quote-unquote law will be in place. What happens between now and the 20 years as far as the Sustainable Groundwater Management Act? Are these PMAs, if they're approved by the state, will they start to take hold now, or are we waiting for 20 years before we actually start implementing things?
I think 20 years is when you're on the hook for demonstrating that you've achieved sustainability. So in our case, in several of our sub-basins, we are already technically sustainable, defined sustainable. So we really have to demonstrate that we are continuing to manage things sustainably or to improve conditions where we have problem spots. So yeah, it's an ongoing, ever-present process. And really, we've seen it kind of framed this way, that adoption of the GSP in December is not the finish line, but really the starting line. So projects and management actions, I mean, those are going to be implemented starting next year, you know, whether it's just improving data and information or actually developing projects.
How will those projects be funded and who will be doing the work?
That's always a big question, right? Where's the money going to come from? We see quite a bit of funding for SGMA implementation in the fiscal year and the general fund from the governor's budget. So there's some money there for projects and for grants. There's also Prop 68 that has funding for implementation of SGMA. So we certainly intend to, you know, go after those funds to both improve data and information and potentially implement projects in the three sub-basins. So when I say the three sub-basins, I'm talking about the Vina sub-basin, which is kind of north and south of Chico area, the Butte sub-basin, which includes Gridley and many of the water districts here in Butte County, and then Wyandotte Creek sub-basin, which is Oroville and south of Oroville.
And would all those, the term I would use, would all those three sub-basins be quote-unquote as of 2021 September be non-compliant as far as the fact they're drawing down the aquifer and not recharging it? Or maybe just a little bit of dialogue around that.
If we adopt our plan in all three of the sub-basins by January 31st of 2022, they will be compliant with SGMA. And so I'll just talk a little bit about the conditions in the sub-basins. Wyandotte Creek is relatively stable and groundwater conditions are pretty good there. And so there's some work to be done around the edges. There's always kind of places to improve, and they're interested in looking at conservation and recharge projects as part of their plan. The Butte sub-basin is largely supplied by surface water supplies that are typically very reliable. In the most severe cases, like this year, they've been cut back. And so more groundwater pumping occurs there. But groundwater levels in the Butte sub-basin are very shallow, typically, and pretty stable. So again, there too, a lot of it for the Butte sub-basin is maintaining reliable surface water supplies so that groundwater pumping doesn't increase, you know, too drastically over the long run. Vina sub-basin is where there's probably the most work to be done. And we do see a downward decline in groundwater levels over the last 20 years. They do go up a little bit in wet years, and then they go down again in dry years. And we've had more dry years than wet years, and so we have an overall downward trend. So there's some work to do in projects or management actions to really stabilize that downward trend.
So what municipalities and agricultural districts are part of the Vina GSA scope?
Yeah, so the Vina GSA is a JPA of three agencies, City of Chico, Butte County, and Durham Irrigation District. Mm-hmm. And then there's a second GSA in the Vina sub-basin also, and that's the Rock Creek Reclamation District GSA. Mm-hmm. So together, those two GSAs are working to develop and adopt a single plan.
And that plan was adopted and you sent it off on Friday, correct?
Not yet.
No, not yet. Okay.
I wish.
Okay, well, so why don't you enlighten our listeners on that, where we're at as far as submittals?
So on Friday, it was launched out the door and posted for public review. So we've started, the complete GSP is available now for folks to take a look at and read, and encourage you to do so and provide your feedback on how things have come together. And then, so we're still kind of on the track to adoption. So there's an advisory committee in the Vina sub-basin, and they'll take a look at the plan and have an opportunity to comment on it themselves. And then they'll also take a look at any public comments that are received during the public comment period and provide feedback to the GSA boards. Mm-hmm. And then the boards will have a public hearing for additional input in November and hopefully adopt the plan in December.
Again, listeners, just joining, we're talking with Christina Buck, Acting Director of Water Resources and Conservation of Butte County. And There's been a lot of dialogue around recharge of the aquifer. It would seem, just for me, from a layman's view, let's pretend I'm a layman Indian 2,000 years ago, the valley would flood. It looked like an inland sea, and much of that water would soak into the groundwater. I'm assuming that's why we've got millions of acres of feet, you know, in these aquifers. But now, with the artificial way that we've managed these irrigations, you know, I'm calling them irrigation, you know, if you raft or look at a lot of the areas on the Sacramento River, it looks like an irrigation ditch, and almost akin to fire. Floods are bad. You got to make sure you've got levees, and you got to make sure we don't have flooding. And it just has created this concern for me, and I think as far as having an understanding for the listeners, how the heck are we going to recharge the aquifer when, one, we're in drought, we don't have enough water anyway, and we're not flooding to the extent that we were going to be recharging the aquifer at a major portion.
A lot of good points, right? A lot of good historical observation there. And we continue to live in a highly variable situation in terms of wet years and dry years, right? And so, like, if you look at 2017, extreme wet year, even 2019, very wet year, there will continue to be flood flows. And so the opportunity and interest, I think, from a recharge perspective, is to kind of make the most of the flood flows, whether it's within even a dry year can have peak high flood flows. And so there are those that are interested in FloodMAR, right, which is flood managed aquifer recharge, and using either ag land or other lands to slow down and spread that water out. I think there's some opportunity for that in our region. There's certainly a high interest in that, you know, in the Southern Central Valley, where they are way out of balance and are really scrambling to figure out how to fix their problem.
Is it sufficient with the flood flows that we have right now? Just for my purview, I'm in Chico, so they have the Sycamore Channel that's diverted from Big Chico Creek. And in wet years, that is amazing waterway to look at as far as how much water is moving and how it's being pushed out north of the airport. But when those flood canals and those diversion for flood control are cooking in flood years, is that enough to recharge the aquifers, and how much in a year like 2019 did that help us out?
Yeah, so that's a great example of you know, potential additional recharge opportunity too. You know, do you maximize the flow that goes down that channel under certain flow conditions to try to increase recharge over time? But what we've seen in the water budget, you know, work for the groundwater plan is that it's not quite enough over the long-term average. And that's, you know, overall leading to our downward decline, right? Mm-hmm. So in wet years, the storage and water levels get a bump from that recharge, natural recharge. But in dry years, it gets kind of a double hit, less natural recharge and additional groundwater pumping, because in a dry year around here, it typically rains more. And so that rain actually does provide some of the water supply that's needed for agricultural crops. And so when that precipitation doesn't occur, there's additional groundwater demand that's needed in those dry years as well.
It would seem to me, if we're going to be sustainable in 20 years and show that we're sustainable in 20 years, it seems like we need more land to fallow and flood to fill up the aquifer and recharge it. What would be your comment on that?
Yeah, so if you're out of balance, you essentially have two options, right? You either reduce what you're pulling out of the aquifer system, or you increase the inflow, or maybe you do a mix of both. And so over the long run, that's what you see in the projects and management actions in the GSP for VINA, is a mix of conservation projects and potential recharge projects.
Some of the terms I've heard is experimental recharge of our aquifer. When I hear allowing the waterways to flood in areas that are necessary to recharge the aquifers, at least from my view, I'm not seeing that as experimental. I mean, gathering large quantities of water and flood conditions that seep into the ground would seem more of a natural act than experimental. And who would own that groundwater? I mean, if we were to say someone set up a process to flood 20,000 acres of farm in Butte County, and that water seeps into the aquifer and eventually is pumped, who would own that water? Or maybe even some more general comments around all of that.
So that's been a conversation that's been happening in the VINA sub-basin too, in terms of legal implications of recharge projects, right? And there's a good white paper I would point folks too that was put together by the VINA legal counsel in cooperation with Paul Goslin, you know, on behalf of the VINA sub-basin. And it does look at how essentially if the importer of that surface water and the recharger and increases recharge, that continues to be a surface water, kind of under surface water law. And so it's the owned by the importer or by the recharger, unless they abandon it, which means that they have shown no intent to account for it and to pull it out later. So it does matter, right? Kind of who does it and how it's done and whether there's an accounting system or not, in terms of is it, you know, done by agencies for the benefit of groundwater sustainability and abandoned essentially becomes part of the native groundwater for the subbasin, or is it an active, you know, more active project by a proponent to recharge and then withdraw?
I believe most, if not all, of the PMAs were conservation. I don't recall seeing a recharge one, but maybe at a 10,000 foot level, maybe just to enlighten our listeners to what these PMAs are alluding to do, the ones that were submitted for public comment and review.
Yeah, there's a list of projects and management actions, and they include both conservation for agricultural conservation as well as urban conservation. And there are some, there's also a FLEDMAR project in there, which is really a feasibility study level, looking at any number of potential recharge projects, like, you know, Lindo Channel and whether that could be managed differently to benefit recharge, things like that. So it's not a specific, you know, scoped out project at this point. One of them also is the Sand Creek project. Sand Creek project is actually a funded feasibility study through Integrated Regional Water Management Planning funds to look at both kind of a flood control multi-benefit project, flood control, recharge, habitat, and that's in the plan as well. So there's a variety of projects in the plan.
Maybe I'll circle back and ask if there's, you know, anything else you would like to talk about regarding SGMA and groundwater and sustainability that we haven't already touched upon, Christina.
I think I'd just encourage folks to get involved. Really thankful for this opportunity to kind of shed some more light on the processes here. They're pretty important, right? To both understand our groundwater system, and SGMA really forces us to do that. We have a history in Butte County of wanting to understand, wanting to have data, wanting to model and manage our groundwater resources. But now our neighbors and the state has to do that too. And that's a benefit to all of us, I think. So there's a lot of opportunity there for the future.
Any suggestions for folks to get involved?
So there's an upcoming public workshop in VINA for an overview and opportunity for public comment on the VINA plan, and that's on October 4th. And there's also one for Wyandotte Creek, and that's on October 20th. So those are great opportunities to get an overview. It's a big, fat document, so there's a lot of reading, so it's a good opportunity to get an overview of what's in it. And then, yeah, really encourage folks to dive into the document and provide comments if they can.
Closing questions I would have coming from a project management perspective. Are there ground ready ones there that have like scope, schedule, and resources? You know, are there projects that are ready to go if they get funding and public comment and state approval?
There are mostly still in development. I'm off the top of my head, I'm not sure there are fully developed kind of scope ready, shovel ready projects.
Okay.
Many of them need some more development and are in the planning stage in that sense, right? Even if it's a planned project, it may still be in the planning or conceptual phase and needs some further development.
So once we get all the public comments, it's approved from the state, we get the money, scope, schedule, and resources, we'll start putting plans together around these. It would seem to be logical. And when do you expect that to start happening? When do you expect to see fruition of work from all these GSAs as far as projects moving forward?
Yeah, I think we'll pivot quickly after adoption of the plan and submission of it in January to, okay, now what are we going to do, and pursuing funding to do those projects. So would encourage folks to take a look at the lists of projects in the plans and really weigh in on which ones they see the most value in and want efforts to focus on as we move from plan development to plan implementation.
Thanks, Christina Buck, for being on KZFR and for all the wonderful work you're doing in the county of Butte and beyond.
Thank you for having me. And can I make one more plug? Back to kind of the scope of drought, we'll return there. Want to encourage folks, if you are experiencing dry well or unreliable well conditions, there is an online reporting form, and it helps us understand kind of the magnitude and the locations of problems. My dry water supply, You can report a dry well. You don't have to put your address in. You can just put your area, nearest cross street, that kind of thing. But it really does help with our planning and response to drought conditions. So we encourage folks to do that.
Next up, Fresh Hop Cinema here on